This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's word and truth.
A man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Unashamed of the gospel and seeking the truth of God in the Bible. Good Wednesday morning, David Fiorazzo and Mike LeMay. Welcome to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. We cover news stories. We give you opinions. You have a responsibility. Take everything you hear on this show, everything you hear everywhere, to the Word of God. It is the only place you are going to find eternal truth. David, please open us in prayer.
Father, thank you for this day, and thank you, Lord, for just everything that you're doing that we cannot see. We trust that you're always moving in the realm of the Spirit, and when times get darker and things seem confusing, we know that you are working, and you are really moving in the realm of the Spirit, and we trust, Father, that your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name, in our whatever is within our control and our power, that we would be able to do your will and be obedient to your word, and also, Lord, that we would be found faithful. Help us to speak the truth in love and direct this hour, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, as we always ask you to do. We love you. We thank you for saving us. We praise you for giving us everything we need for life and godliness, particularly your Holy Spirit in us. And we thank you for the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. A little later, we're going to address an interesting commentary about the effect of divorce on the religious beliefs and practices of children affected by that divorce. Has a culture of easy divorce been responsible for many youth walking away from their Christian faith? But first, far too many young people have become enamored with a new culture sweeping our nation. Movie and TV stars, along with professional athletes, have become role models for our youth. And sadly, the example they often set contradicts the teaching and wisdom of the Bible. So how do we address youth in a biblical way when their role models are setting very bad examples? Well, our guest this morning, Tina Griffin, has dedicated her life to addressing pop culture and its effect on our youth. She's addressed pop culture's effect on youth through her show, Hollywood Exposed, and has appeared on several television networks and shows. She has also worked in the movie industry, learning the inside scoop to what is really going on. Tina, welcome to Stand Up for the Truth.
Thank you so much, Mike, for giving me this time to share to the listeners here today.
I'm really excited.
We're
blessed to have you, Tina. Hey, first question, what did you learn regarding how celebrities raise their children that might really be shocking to many people?
Well, over the years, working on set, meeting these celebrities face-to-face, I can tell you that the major line I heard from a lot of celebs was, hey, this is my job. Parents need to be parents. Shelter their kids if they don't want to watch it, but this is how I get paid. And the thing that really bothered me about it, and I would talk to some celebs, I had long conversations with some, Brittany Murphy, the late Brittany Murphy, who passed away a couple years ago, her and I talked for a while, and it seems like celebrities think it's just their job, that's their paycheck, but the thing that bothered me was so many of the celebrities I've met do not allow their own kids to watch or listen to their very own entertainment. There was an award show, this is maybe even 7-8 years ago, I believe the Oscars, Nicole Kidman got an award for one of her movies, and she didn't know they were going to show a sex scene from that movie, and she had her two kids with her, and she shoved them underneath the table while that scene was playing because she had no clue. And so just by seeing that and to see all these celebrities on how they do shelter their kids, I even have on my blog several personal stories. One's Madonna, where she said on Ellen DeGeneres a couple years ago, when my son Rocco comes with me on this tour, Rocco said, hey, mom shelters me and puts me underneath the stage. I'm doing my homework. I'm underneath the stage. I'm busy doing things. He's not allowed to see her basically be half naked on the stage doing sexual graphic moves. So if we dig deep, we can easily see celebrities are great parents, but with that comes the hypocrisy of they're making billions shoving this message in front of millions of young kids who are influenced by it. That shocked me, and that's what got me on the path to expose this stuff a good 12, 13 years ago when I was living in L.A.
And like you, many of us are tired of the hypocrisy, Tina, because they speak out of both sides of their mouths, and they want to shelter their kids, but they're pushing perversion on everybody else through the vehicle of entertainment. And the bottom line is, you know, that there's something wrong about that. There must be a contradiction within them saying, I'm doing this because it's my job. I'm degrading myself and basically just, you know, doing anything or saying anything that's perverted that'll sell. But I'm not going to let my kids watch it or view it. There's a spiritual battle going on. Would you like to speak to how that applies in this situation where they're doing one thing, but maybe something else is really going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, I really think that celebrities a lot of times are forced to do things they don't want to do. There's so many different avenues with this because some celebrities are puppets where Satan is literally using them. And like Sasha Fierce is a demon that lives in Beyonce. I mm-hmm. blogged about it. I got thousands of shares on that blog post, and that was only done about a year ago, and it's still popping up. I still get a lot of emails regarding that post alone. People are starting to connect the dots. But she comes out and says on network TV, hey, I have a demon living in me. And if you watch her dance, it's the same deal. Mm-hmm. So you've got the people that, and then you see another video of her where she is, I got this amazing voice from the Lord and Lord, let me use it to help influence the masses. And I'm like, oh my gosh, girl, you've got an amazing voice. She's using it for the wrong side. So you've got Satan trying to work his way into these major role models for our young kids and spread a message that's demonic and satanic and anything anti-God to grab these kids when they're young, because if they base their identity on sex, drugs, alcohol, and their past mistakes, the freedom in Christ is not revealed, and hence their life is influenced by evil instead of good. And so you have this battle going on nonstop, and Satan knows. I really believe, I told my mom when I was 10 that I wasn't going to die. Like, I've had the wildest stories, and I know that you have too, and the listeners listening in. There were times when I know God sent people in my life that a specific thing throughout my last 20, 30 years, even the satanic attacks I got while speaking blow my mind. Knowing full well Satan has little time left, I really believe we are living in the end times. I thought of that 10, 15 years ago. I became a Christian at 16 when I went to church in Green Bay at Interfaith Fellowship is what it was called at the time. And I knew I didn't want to be a bench warmer Christian, but I can tell you there is a major spiritual battle, and Satan is using as many high-profile people as possible to sway the masses into believing his lie. And he's got an all-out attack right now, even in video games. I was just sharing with a couple of my friends in Green Bay. The video games is the next blog post I plan on doing this week. With complete porn, Mike, you probably know this, but it is complete porn. Parents have no idea. It couldn't be any more graphic. Multi-partners having sex in video games, and the kids get to be the kids, you know, to control the actual moves that take place during these sex scenes. And multiple partners, men with men, women with women. I physically feel sick when I see this, and I believe Satan is all-out attack because he has little time left before Christ returns. So that's why I think it's pertinent that we just wake up and be alert and alive and let God use us and help these kids realize that this is a lie from the enemy. And when I do my show and I talk about these issues, I know that the kids get it because they're just on fire afterwards. Mm.
These are video games you're talking about?
Video games. Grand Theft Auto 5 is horrific. All of them are horrific for Grand Theft Auto games. There are a lot of horrific games out there. It used to be where there was cheat codes in video games where parents buy the game, it looks fine. 2 seconds later, the kids grab these video game cheat codes from going online, looking at gaming magazines. And I did a whole big cheat code video game blog about, so parents are aware of what these codes are, how they put them in there. And so within 2 seconds later, the kid can not just play volleyball on a volleyball, you know, game, but 2 seconds later, they're in a porn club doing strip club scenes.
Mm. Tina, I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago about the upcoming latest, greatest thing, if you will, virtual reality, and how the porn industry in the United States is putting millions of dollars in the development of virtual reality, and it will actually allow a person to almost feel like they are part of the pornographic movie going on. I mean, we just see this permeating, and as you said, Satan is using every avenue he can to distract us at these times.
I completely agree. It's crazy we're talking about this right now because I just talked. I literally called my husband at work about 30 minutes ago, and I said, you'll never guess. I'm doing this research for this pornographic content now that's not even cheat code related. You just get to play it right away.
Hmm.
It's throughout Grand Theft Auto 5. And he said, he talked to me about virtual reality. You think it can't get any worse, and then it does, but you're right. It becomes as if you are the person engaging in that sexual act, and it's very, very graphic. I mean, these women are completely naked, and I don't even know if I want to just take how X-rated do you get on air right now,
yeah.
But I'll say whatever you think can't be in it is in it. It's just in your face, and these are video games. It's not even like the porn industry 15 years ago. You had to secretly go somewhere to a video store on the high shelf in the back, or someone had to get it out from the back room with a black curtain separating the good stuff from the bad stuff. Now it's like at Walmart, and they don't even check the ratings of the games. They don't care. A 7-year-old can buy those games. And even if they do happen to check it once out of a million, you got an 18-year-old kid buying it legally and a 7-year-old playing it at home with their brother.
Well, Tina, we just had Pastor Joe Schimmel of Good Fight Ministries on yesterday. We were talking about entertainment, idolatry, lovers of pleasure versus lovers of God. And we're talking about the Christian church. And, of course, he did that Beyonce video, that expose, that millions of hits on YouTube. If our listeners want to go check that out, Good Fight Ministries, Joe Schimmel from yesterday's interview. But what you're mentioning these kids can access it, and you mentioned, you know, 18-year-olds are getting this. But what about younger kids? And particularly we're talking about Christian families. What can Christian parents do other than, you know, they can't keep their eyes on their kids all day long?
They can't. That's also, there's many different avenues with that, and I can address it. I want to quickly mention to you, Joel Schimmel is a very good friend of mine, and he is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
It's wild. You said I'm getting chilled. I was 20 years old editing I did for side jobs in L.A. when I was out there doing the acting thing and going to college for my film and television broadcasting degree. I did videos of weddings, and I was editing a wedding, and across the hall I heard this guy with these video clips of, like, Satan and evil and pornography and stuff, and I'm like, what is going on? I'm very intrigued, and that was my first move to L.A. from Green Bay. I go over there and meet this guy, and he shows me what he's doing, and I'm like, I want to expose that. And my verse out of Scripture was Ephesians 4:11 that just became my mission in life. It says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them.
Mm.
And I put in red ink 20 years ago, my mission, exclamation, exclamation. And when I met him, I even have his video on my blog site. I have his video
awesome.
In my store at counterculturemom.com. He's the reason why I do what I do. I just became an undercover FBI agent in Hollywood for God when I met that man.
And that's Ephesians 5:11, by the way. I know you probably have that.
5:11, you got it.
Yeah.
I have my arm covering up here some.
Yeah, that's what we do too. And that's, I believe, you and I and Mike and those of us who are just concerned about America, where Christianity is concerned, where the gospel is concerned. And, you know, you can call us watchmen. You can just call us people that are concerned about what's going on. We're Christians that really want to live, like you say, counter culture. So have you come across other people who you are encouraged by that, or do you find that to be very rare when people want to actually stand up and speak about these things?
Oh, Mike, I am taking off tomorrow to Nashville to meet with four other amazing women that are counterculture women, and it is all about helping people get from point A to point B. Over the last 12 years of sharing this content, I know that God gave me a lot more info that I need to share. I just don't know how to share it. I've wanted to write a book. I have radio segments now playing in the state of Missouri all over the place that I basically broke up my show into little snippets. And then I started doing a mastermind phone call once a week with a woman who is on HGTV up in Canada, another woman who's an author with Lifeway down in Texas, another woman who does a ton of social media stuff and has been on NBC and a bunch of other stations. And all of these women, they've been helping me say, Tina, how do you get your hero, the mom who is frustrated, overwhelmed, exhausted, doesn't know where to go for good content and how to apply, get her family on track so demonic forces don't enter her home and destroy her children, or when they go to school, the stuff they learn there. And I'm telling you, Mike, the stuff that God has been sharing with me on what to pump out in 2017 blows my mind. And it's basically to help frustrated, tired, exhausted moms that are hopeless or don't know what to do get from where they are now to where they need to be, and helping them get the tools they need to know, be prayed up, ask God to give them wisdom. If they know scripture, they're, for me, I want them to have the same kind of mentality as in knowing the Word of God so much that the second you see something on TV or in an advertisement or you read a certain book or a movie that's currently out, where they can be like, this is not something I want to have in my home, in my mind, my kids to be exposed to. And I think the battle that a lot of parents have today is that they want to be the parent and the guardian, but they sometimes feel pressured into letting their kids do what they want to do because other kids are allowed to do X, Y, and Z. And so they are stuck with kids being angry at them because their mom it won't let them do something and everybody else can. And so the influence has been so bad. Our school system here in Missouri, Common Core, hit it hard, and there's a lot of things going on in our school. We had 14 girls 2 weeks ago that got kicked out of school. Not all girls, most of them were girls, because they showed up to a football game drunk. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of other issues, sexting and pregnancy, all of that. There's so much junk going on in our elementary schools, even with what they're teaching. They're stripping history out of the book. So when you got Bill Gates and Pearson rewriting our books and sending it off to schools across mm-hmm. the country that we weren't founded on Christian beliefs and stripping our foundation, I'm homeschooling my oldest three kids because of that.
Yes, Pearson Publishing you're referring to, right?
Yes.
Tina, let's look at how media is really affecting the family structure. I mean, nowadays, and I commented on this a couple weeks ago, you watch an average sitcom and the dad is always this stupid, bumbling idiot who never gets it. The children seem wiser. As a whole, how is today's media affecting the family structure?
I think it's destroying it, and it's giving American families the wrong idea of what family life can be like. And I remember seeing a couple different filmmakers commenting, and even the people I would meet on set saying, hey, Tina, we're just producing movies that show what the culture is like today. And there's some truth to that, but I think the opposite is happening. I think that Hollywood is shaping and ingraining messages that are creating the culture to be like it's like today. So my thought is, why not pump out more entertainment that's positive, uplifting, even if it is reality? Let's do a movie about kids that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, but give them a happy ending. Give them solutions to their problems, going to see a counselor, getting into a drug rehab program, showing testimonies of people that have gone through and gotten help and now are making a life for themselves. Because so many degrading movies glamorize drugs and alcohol and violence and suicide. That has been my mission, to expose the fact that they're not showing the consequences of that, and there's mm-hmm. there's no hope in it.
Isn't that interesting? What you just said, something that I think we overlook very easily, that they do not show the consequences. And in our culture, when it comes to the promotion of the LGBT, homosexuality, and now transgenderism, they don't talk about the mental illnesses. They don't talk about the suicide rates that are skyrocketing for these people. They don't talk about
the disease
from the Center for Disease Control and all the stats that come out. What can we do to raise awareness about these things, Tina?
Really, for me, I just had these women that were talking to me here from this mastermind group. It's like we have a love-hate relationship with social media, because so many lies mm-hmm. are spread through entertainment today. But at the same time, in order to reach the masses, we have to use social media. So my stance is that we as Christians need to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, get wisdom from the Lord, and use our Facebook to not post thousands of shots of stuff that really doesn't matter in the end. And I don't post a lot of stuff on my kids either. I wonder if people are thinking, oh, does she even hang out with her kids? Yep, all the time. I homeschool them. I see them, you know, 24/7. But I post a lot of things on social media, 80% at least, that are exposing the lies of our culture today. So I think we need to band together and pump this stuff out there through radio programming, mm-hmm. through movies and TV shows that we can film and get to and enter into Christian film festivals.
Yes.
I have friends that have submitted stuff and it's gotten out there.
Yes.
The hard part is, because Hollywood is controlled by major media moguls that basically are not saved, don't know the Lord, it's so hard to get positive films that play for more than 2 weeks in more than 20 theaters across the country.
Yes,
so we have to use social media. But I've also heard recently, too, that our government wants to ban and has been taking YouTube channels off, mm-hmm. has been banning Facebook users if they post anything that is truthful that would basically challenge what our government and Hollywood is promoting, which basically they're axing freedom of speech. One of my friends just texted me the other day, hey, do a Facebook Live video on this. In North Carolina, there's a campus. You can't mention the name of Jesus unless you get a contract mm-hmm. signed by the campus that allows you to share your faith. What is going on?
It is absolute lunacy. Our guest this morning is a bright light in a very dark place, Hollywood Media. More with Tina Griffin when we come back.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupforthetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
Our final segment with Tina Griffin.
All right, Tina. I'm looking at the calendar here, and Halloween is about 2.5 weeks away. I've been out of school for a while, if my math is close. But you've got an article on your website, and the website, we will have it posted later on today at standupforthetruth.com, but it is counterculturemom.com. The article is called Scholastic Recommends Witchcraft, Sorcery, and Murder for Our Kids. And I guess, Tina, a lot of parents really don't know what's in their kid's backpack. Would you like to talk about that?
I definitely would. Yes. Long story short, when I was a kid, I loved getting the Scholastic back-to-school flyer. I get to take it home, have mom check it out, let me get a couple cool books. I would crawl up in our big apple tree in the front lawn and read some books. Well, back then it was how to hang, you know, fun stuff to do with your best friend, the top 10 crafting ideas to do with your mom. Simple, easy, life is fun activities that don't make you want to kill yourself after reading it. Well, today, Scholastic, my friend from South Carolina, texted me this thing and said, look what my kid brought home from school. And it was a flyer, and I'm not joking. She goes, I made it easy for you, Tina. I circled all of them that dealt with witchcraft, sorcery, murder. I'm like, it can't be that bad. I went to Scholastic's website. I called Scholastic, and I played dumb. I'm like, hey, what kind of books are you recommending, and how old, what age of kids? I'm telling you, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. The thing that freaks me out about Scholastic is that it goes to all the schools around the country that want to jump on board with Scholastic, and majority of schools do because they get a kickback when Scholastic gets all these orders from these kids going home, and they're like, hey, can I get these 3 or 4 books that are in and hip and cool, Mom? They get the cash, go back to school, that form gets sent into Scholastic, and parents don't have a clue most of the time on what these books entail, but then Scholastic lets the school know you sold 1,500 books, how many, you get 300 books to choose for your school library or whatever the number is, and these schools are then getting the very same books that even if a mom shelters her kid and says, no, you can't look at this murder book or a witchcraft book, that book still lands up in the school library. So what these books that are being promoted, I have a long list on my website. Mm-hmm. I just wrote this article. There's 26 that I put on there. I went on Amazon, did some research on the books that are on this list, and it is exactly that. Even if you look at the covers that I took and put on my website, it's about murdering young girls and witchcraft, the occult, and I'm telling you, 70 to 80% of the books this last school year that were promoted to kids to read, elementary up, were filled with this. Not 1 in 20 books, it was 8 in 10.
Tina, I'm looking at the website now, just some of the titles. Dark Energy, Blood Will Tell, there's a cover that says Dead Girls Don't Lie, probably a lot of New Age stuff, occult stuff, Shadow House, ghosts. How can we tell more parents that this is actually a concern? And you make some good points about the kickback. Also, it looks like Scholastic, did you mention over $1.6 billion in annual revenue? And they also, Well, I'll just let you talk about your concerns and help educate some moms out there who are probably going, what, really?
Yeah, it's moms, just be on the alert and check it out. You're saying it can't be that bad, but when I'm reading articles and writing and doing Facebook Live videos now on satanic clubs coming to elementary school, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, all out attacks from Satan, you think it can't be happening, it is. And the problem is, if we sit back and say, someone else will take care of it, or we'll just pray it away, that is not going to happen. And yes, prayer is important, but God also says, go, do, be, speak the truth, expose the lies. I'm telling you, there is no other exciting life than to actually let God use you in every minute of every day to be in the battle. I would rather die for the cause than to live till 80 regretting that I didn't do anything for the Lord and people saying and going to hell and saying, I never knew you were a Christian.
Tina, what like, about, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so basically, sorry, to answer your question about Scholastic, yes, they are the largest children's book publisher, which promotes literacy with books for kids of all ages and reading levels, and they are promoting the witchcraft, sorcery, and all the rest. What we can do, and I'll give you an encouraging story with this, there was a mom in our area that went to a local school last year and said, this is what Scholastic promotes. I guess the school board wasn't even aware, even though these books are right on the cover of Scholastic. You look at the covers of the books, you can tell they're satanic. And that whole school shut down Scholastic and said, no more, we're not having it here. So by one person calling in and voicing their concern, you can change your whole entire community, your whole entire school district, and start a revolution. It has happened. And I think the problem we're having in America today is people are afraid to speak up because they might be sued. They might be blasted in the media. They might be attacked in some way or get a bad phone call or two or a text. Believe it, I have gotten attacked left and right. But every time I get attacked, in the moment, it's not fun. But I keep remembering the scripture God gave me that expect persecution if you're living out every day fully for me. And
yes.
It's like, I mean, look at all the people that were his followers back in the day that were killed, the apostles that were dismembered. It's horrific. But at the same time, they get the crown of glory. And well done, good and faithful servant. I want to earn that. I want to hear that. And
yes.
I'm urging moms, please be aware of everything around you. And I'm telling you, it is worth the fight and the battle for our kids' minds, hearts, and lives. And by being active and calling the school board and letting them know, hey, this isn't good and here's why and here's what happens as a result, you wake people up, but your kids are also watching you and you're being an amazing example. Like my son Jake is just on fire with topics that I talk about because he's sharing with his friends now. It's like I want
awesome.
Them to grow up knowing what it's like to live for the Lord.
Tina, again, your website, counterculturemom.com. And Lord, increase our faith that we may speak the truth in love, but speak about these things
yes.
and share with concerned yes. Christians. I want to ask you to transition your reply to this question, your response, into what's coming up, and that's Halloween and how Christians can address it. We talked about this with Pastor Joe Schimmel yesterday, but are Christians welcoming witchcraft? You know, they've read Harry Potter books in public schools, and a lot of people downplay it, or at least the kids are reading. But the darkness of the occult and witchcraft has, to a great degree, been accepted in our society. The question we need to ask is, to what extent has it seeped into our churches and families?
It's majorly seeped. It's majorly seeped, and Satan's very deceptive. I think we're at the point now, though, where people are starting to wake up, and parents are realizing this isn't right. How do we get it out of our homes? And that's what I hope to help them with what I'm currently doing. Not just here are the issues, but how can we be proactive in it? What do we do with the information you're giving us? And that's what my whole agenda is. We have an amazing church. I go to Heartland Church here in just south of Osage Beach in Camdenton, Missouri. I love going there because the pastor always addresses current issues. I love it. It's not it's not a watered down message. It's not, we need to love everybody. And that's true, but
yes.
we also need to speak the truth. And he speaks the truth. So I would say, let's just be prayed up and wake up and be involved in churches that are speaking the truth, because there's so many, I hate to say it, but I think there's a lot of churches that are, embracing the homosexual lifestyle, and there are many in the news today that go to the gay pride parades and saying it's all about love, but to me that is embracing sin,
yes.
and there's no freedom in that. And so we need to be on the lookout. And in the end times, what does Christ warn us about? That people are going to be deceived, blinded, that many will fall away, and we are currently seeing it in our culture and our world today.
We certainly are, Tina. Tina, of all the topics you discuss in your show and your presentation on Hollywood Exposed, which ones have been the most important to you, and how have you applied them?
Man, when I first started speaking, I went to the Miss America pageant in Los Angeles, several Miss America pageants out in California, and we had to have a platform. My platform was abstinence education. And so I first started speaking about waiting to have sex until your wedding night. And I still talk about that. But over the years, I have realized, and God has shown me, that the demonic forces, it's just an all-out spiritual battle right now. And so the part that seems to be, I did a bunch of music festivals in the last year and a half. Many people are swarming to me afterwards with the comments of, cannot believe there's so much demonic activity going on in Hollywood. And so the biggest part, sorry, I got a kid making noise with a toy.
Hang on.
The thing that seems to be really major is the celebrities that are being puppets and being used by demonic forces to pull kids in that direction, the occult, the witchcraft on an all-time level. And so that part of my show I really have a strong gravitation towards, because I believe that needs to be exposed for what it is. And there's a power structure there. And I describe that in my show with emblems being used, clothes being worn. Beyonce wears a demonic goat head on her outfit on stage in her photo shoot. She just had an I Am tour. God, that's blasphemy. God says, I am. He says he's who he is.
Yes.
And she is using that very same phrase on her tour. And it's like literally Satan is laughing at the masses going to her tour and using her as the person to speak through with his agenda. And so that part to me has been the biggest hits, with the emails coming in and the phone calls and the texting. So there's so much, and it's hard for me to take one certain part of the show out, but what I really want to do over the years is I have an hour and a half when I go speak, and I've spoken from prisons, talking to inmates, all the way to Focus on the Family cruises or girls' purity events. And what I really want to focus on is exposing the lies, and I just never seem to have enough time to get all this information out. And so what I want to do now is, a lot of people are aware of the consequences, so I'm hammering home on more of showing people exactly how Satan is using the entertainment industry to lie to our world about how to live their life, what to base their identity on, and what is pleasurable and great to engage in. Consequences aren't revealed. You know it leads to a dead end, and that's my major point, is live for God and be who Christ has called you to be and base your identity in him, not what Satan says to put on your billboard, on your wall, or follow and read and listen to.
Amen. And you know, Tina, it's not just secular media. I mean, we that are in Christian media, radio, television, we've got to be careful these days about the artists we listen to, the preachers we watch, because this secular humanism thing is really infecting a lot of Christian media, sadly.
I completely agree, and there is a lot of, you know what, it's easier to decipher the lies if something or someone is sharing a message that you know contradicts the Bible. What's tricky is what you just said, when there are people that claim to be Christians, or, yeah, basically claim to be Christians, but then embrace a lifestyle or a message that completely goes against Scripture, but does it in a way where it's like, Jesus is the only way, but this, and this are okay. Mm-hmm. Like, they mix in a little bit of, which is very important, but major lies with 80% truth. And so it's really tough. I remember Dr. James Dobson, his daughter, I forgot her first name, but she was on a radio program about 15, 20 years ago, living in L.A., I think driving to a movie set, something, and I listened to her, and she had a really good analogy. She's like, it's the same topic. She's like, you're making brownies, and you add a little bit of, it's kind of gross, but it's true, a little bit of dog poop, just a couple tablespoons in the batter, and you mix it up and give it to somebody. Would they want it? No, but that is what's going on in our culture today with people that are being deceptive, just a little bit, to the point where it messes up the entire message.
Yeah. What you just said, a friend of mine actually did that several years ago, and to make the point that it just takes a little bit of false teaching you know, to deceive people. And she actually did that with her daughters there, took a little bit of dog poop from their dog out of the yard, put it in the brownie batch, and she knew she was going to throw them out, right? But the kids were looking at her like mouths open, eyebrows furled, and going, what in the world are you doing? But they never forgot that lesson.
Mm. They didn't. There's a video I have, my video gallery. If I can say one thing, parents, jump on the video gallery, show your kids the videos I have on there. I just updated it. There's like a ton of videos, all in different categories, basically exposing the lies of what's going on in Hollywood. And when you have celebrities admitting what they're doing, which I do on my website, it's so eye-opening to the kids where they start to connect the dots and say, I'm not going to be lied to anymore. You don't care about me. Why would you promote sex and drugs not showing consequences, but you want me to buy your album?
Yeah.
You know, you want me to go to your concert? So they start to get it when they watch that. But there is a video on there called Purity Matters, and there's some guys in the street that are asking people, they take a big chug of water out of their water bottle, and then they say, hey, do you mind just drinking the rest of this? No, I'm not. You got germs on that. And the point made is you don't want to drink some water out of a water bottle that I put my lips on, but kids think it's okay to be sexually active with 15 different kids in 1 year, not realizing what happens when that takes place. They're just not told the truth.
No, sad. Well, Tina, we appreciate you speaking the truth in love. We appreciate the incredible effort you are putting into this ministry and calling of God. And I hope we can touch base with you again next month.
That sounds awesome. Thanks a lot. I just want to encourage parents out there listening. It's worth the battle, worth the fight. Keep at it. The good news is we know who wins in the end, and we know we're close.
Amen to that. Thank you, Tina Griffin. Talk to you next month.
God bless you, Tina.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
I tell you, what a breath of fresh air in a very, very sad culture that has become the United States of America. When we come back, an interesting commentary on how decades of divorce has helped erode religion.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupwiththetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Let's go to our phone lines. Good morning, Neil. Welcome to Stand Up for the Truth.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you. Okay, I got a comment, really, more than a question. I just caught last of what was being said by Vicky. Tina. Okay, see, what she gave with that illustration of that poop and a brownie, I recall a guy saying that. He's talking about somebody said, poop and a brownie. I don't know poop and a brownie. And that's a good illustration. It did get a truth across to the children that saw that.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, you know, going back to it biblically, what it says in there is that leaven, a little leaven, leaven's a whole lump, you know, and leaven, and that's, in biblically speaking, you know, that's sin.
Yes, yes.
You know, the sincerity of truth, a little leaven's a whole lump. So, yeah, that's how they operate. They put a little truth in there to make it acceptable. And it's important that people, God's people, really understand the word and read it for themselves so that they're not taken in by these things, so that they're not deceived.
Boy,
you know, Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are truth and they are life. They're spirit and they are life. And then I'm relating to yesterday, too, about the Halloween subject, you know, that we're set apart by God and our lives are to represent Him. He is a light in the world and we're the light in the world. And if we take part in His activities, then it's like, it's compromising. It's like saying that you can mix light and dark together and it's still going to be okay. But
Neil,
it's really not, you know, because, yes.
Excellent, excellent comments.
Thank you
so much for sharing them.
Yes.
You know, and what Neil brings up to me is a real difficulty we have in the Christian life, because we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And we have to be careful. We have to look for things that we should not be participating in, things that promote evil. And yet, like Paul talked about, he said, do not even have fellowship with a sexually immoral person who calls himself brother. But then he goes on to say, look, I'm not telling you to not hang out with the sexually immoral of the world, because you wouldn't be able to live. It's a challenging thing to be in the world, but not of the world. And, you know, sometimes we feel a freedom in Christ to do something, but that runs head up against, you know, we do not want to to participate in things of this world that are blatantly anti-biblical. And Neil, love what you said. Yeah. We need to start studying the Bible on our own and in small groups and stop listening to what other people teach about it. The Pharisees so twisted the law that people didn't recognize Jesus when he came. So listen, no disrespect intended to your pastors when I say this, but don't put all the burden on him to teach the word. Husbands, you need to be teaching it to your wives and children. You need to be leaders of the household. Stop looking to other men for their opinions and go to the Word of God. Want to cover a touch base on this topic briefly? It actually comes from the Washington Post, which is a very liberal-leaning newspaper, but it's how decades of divorce have helped erode religion. Won't get into the whole article, but it says about Americans are rapidly becoming less religious. Since 1972, the share of Americans who say they do not adhere to any particular religion has increased from 5% to 25% of the population. And they go to a study from the Public Religion Research Institute that says there's a direct correlation between how easy it is for people to divorce these days. A couple points they make in the article is that children who've went through divorce are like five times more apt to walk away from religion as a whole than children who have been raised by a mother and father. Mm. The study found 29% of adults who were raised religious and left their faith said they left because of their religion's negative teachings about gay and lesbian people. 19% said they left because of clergy sexual abuse scandals. 60% say they simply do not believe what the religion teaches. And the article goes on to really talk about the importance of how a mother and a father, what they believe and how they live in the life of youth. And Dave, I just thought of a couple things. We kind of jotted down a few points here as Christian parents that maybe can help us. We know it is not God's desire that we divorce, that we stay together as husband and wife forever, one man, one woman. But that doesn't always mean that it's going to be easy to be a parent. So what are some of the things we can do as parents to really help our children grow up so they will not walk away from their faith? You know, the first thing I'd like to talk about as a husband and wife, are we of one mind and heart about what the Bible teaches? Or do we have a mother who thinks one thing and a father who thinks something else? And does it lead to arguments? All this is going to do is feed into the narcissism and the distrust of religion in our children. And fathers, are we showing an example of agape love to our wives for our children? Or are we showing our children how to be verbally abusive to our wives, how to disrespect them? Are we a model of what Paul talked about to the church in Ephesus, about how a man should love his wife as Christ loves his church? Or are you treating your wife with disrespect and teaching your children to do the same thing? On the flip side of that coin, mothers, are you lovingly submitting to your husbands? Are you showing your young girls an example of biblical submission that's called in the Bible? Or are you a mother who's constantly nagging the husband, constantly undermining what he decides? So I think, Dave, in many ways, it even goes beyond divorce as an effect on religion. It's how we as parents live our Christian faith and how we teach it to our children. Another thing is, do we allow our children, and boy, I'll tell you, I think every parent can relate with this one. Do we allow our children to play one side against the other? Mm-hmm. You know, you go to ask mom something, she says no. You go to dad, he says yes. And then you go do it, and when mom yells, you go, well, dad told me it was okay. So are we making decisions as husbands and wives together, or are we just, for convenience sake, throwing something out there and giving our children contradictory messages? Another important point, how do we handle conflict in front of our children? You know, I don't care how blessed and how good your marriage is, there's going to be conflict. You're going to disagree on things. How do we handle that conflict in front of our children? Are we arguing and fighting and yelling at each other and calling each other names? Or are we taking some time away alone as husband and wife to work out the conflicts? Any thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, this last one here, how do we handle conflict? It affected me the way my parents handled conflict because now I've shared this recently, not recently, but on the show before. My parents didn't argue or fight. They disagreed, you know, on a lot of things, but they didn't do it in front of the kids. Hmm. Now, they always did that. They said that was, they just didn't want to argue or disrespect each other in front of the kids, which is admirable. But they did it in their bedroom, closed door at night or whenever. The problem with that is, and I admire them. I'm thankful that they tried to, you know, show that loving relationship that they loved and respected each other in front of the kids. That's a good way to raise your kids. However, I tended to grow up with a lot of naive ideas and expectations because I didn't understand conflict resolution. Mm. Because I didn't see them work through things, or at least outwardly, or hear that any of those conversations. So that is one thing that I would say it's good that you want to be good role models or Christian parents, but show your kids the realities of life, too, that you can not fight, but you can argue and still love each other. You can debate or disagree without being disagreeable.
I think that is an outstanding point, Dave.
Thank you.
When we try to just pretend conflict doesn't exist for the sake of the children, we miss an opportunity to really teach them how to resolve conflict. So if a mother and father are arguing about something, maybe it's an opportunity to sit down, let the children listen, and then use really good communication skills. Don't judge one another. Don't condemn one another. Ask good questions. Work the problem out and let the children see how Bible-believing Christians can resolve conflict.
Yes.
My parents, it was kind of different. My dad was one of those silent night guys. He worked hard. He watched his Packer games. He drank his beer. My mom would, I guess you could look and say, nag him and nag him and nag him. And then all of a sudden, one day, my dad would just explode and start hitting her. He'd get drunk and he'd hit her. And I thank God every day that he confessed of that. 2 weeks before he died, he just asked God to forgive him. And I believe my father's with the Lord because he confessed and repented of his sin. But, you know, we saw kind of the opposite of what you saw. We'd go two or three months without any conflict, and all of a sudden, boom, it would blow up.
Wow.
And it's I think it is such a responsibility and a privilege to be a parent. None of us do it perfectly. And for children listening out there, I have a word of advice for you. When you're a perfect child, you can expect a perfect parent. So, I mean, you know, don't look at your parents and put a yoke of perfection on them that you yourself can never attain. Being a parent is difficult. It's hard. Men and women go to work 40 to 50 hours a week. They come home. The Christian parents do the best they can to spend time with their children. But you also have to understand, children, that mom and dad need some time alone for each other. Because if they can't build that strong marriage bond, it's going to affect the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
So another point, do we model the Christian life to our children both publicly and privately? Are you the type of person that goes to church and sings hallelujah and amen and praise God and then come home and treat your wife with disrespect or your husband with disrespect? Just some things to think about. Let's go to our phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Stand Up for the Truth. Who is this, please?
Good morning. This is Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. I just wanted to touch base with you folks on the comments in regards to Tina. Very, very interesting. I mean, I just think about over the past 30 years, all the different things that I've seen, spiritually speaking, and we don't, obviously don't want to emphasize the importance of Satan, but it definitely need to have the education portion there. So quick comment I just had is I know I have a son of mine who is a junior in high school, and he approached me the other day and he says, you know, I'd really like to go see that Terror on the Fox. And Terror on the Fox has been around for years, and it's a haunted house type of setting. And I thought about it, and I talked to my wife, and we prayed about it. And I said, you know, there's certain things, there's certain areas where we just need to kind of let go of our children. We pray over them, and we lead them, and we show them the right way to live. But ultimately, they're going to have to start making their own decisions. And I told him, I said, you know what, why don't you go ahead and go to that? I don't even know what it costs to get in there. I don't know if it's $10 or $15 to get in there. But as I was praying about it, I said, Lord, I hope he's going to use his own money. I said, I hope he spends that money and he sees what it is. And then he comes out of it and says, you know, I wasted some money on that haunted house. And I really didn't get a whole heck of a lot out of it. And not to glorify the haunted house per se, but sometimes we do need to let our kids see some of that in order for them to come back to the reality of knowing, maybe, you know, I saw that, rather than, you know, how the old saying, curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you do need to let them do that. Now, same thing when it comes to the movies. I talked to my kids. I said, you know, I just can't compete with these movies. These are everything you watch is spiritually demonic. They've got a lot of things that are just going in the negative realm. And I said, you know, boys, I'm going to say no to a lot of these movies, but you know, when you get to be men, when you get to be 18, you're going to have to make decisions on your own, and I'm not going to be there to help you through these things. I mean, I'll obviously give you my advice, but as we're watching our kids grow, the most important thing that we can do is educate them. I mean, obviously, I'm not in favor of Halloween or the dressing up this way or that way, but we can't hold on to them so tight that they rebel and they say, well, you know, I'm going to do it because you said I can't do it.
Mm.
And so sometimes we do need to let go of them a little bit and say, I hope that they learn something from this. Because I guarantee when he's done with that terror on the fox, we're going to come back and we're going to have a discussion. And I'm going to say, what did you learn about it? How did this glorify God? Was it appropriate for you to be there?
Mm.
So we do need to make those questions a very important part of kind of as we look at, after the event takes place, now let's go ahead and debrief the situation.
Matt, thank you. Some excellent comments, and I'd like to add to what Matt said. I think it's a mistake to think we can shelter our children from all the evil of the world forever. Eventually, mm-hmm. as Matt said, they're going to leave the farm. They're going to be 18. They're going to be adults, and they can make their own decisions. And I like Matt's approach, you know, that sometimes you sit down, you talk to your children, but you realize you cannot control everything they do. Mm-hmm. They can get on the internet at school or at the public library if you don't have it at home. And, you know, so I think talk about these issues, bring them into the light, as Jesus said. You know, Satan hates the light. He hates it. He wants to remain in darkness. And again, I think Matt's advice is really sound. You can't shelter your children from this world forever. Now, you don't expose them to unnecessary danger that can really scar them for life, but you talk through these issues. Maybe what did you learn? How do you feel after you went to that? You know, the bottom line is parenting is as much art as it is science. And we've got to go by feel, the feel of the Holy Spirit, and ask the Holy Spirit's guidance as we pray. But yeah, if we shelter our kids, if we think we can shelter them from cradle to grave of everything in this world, we're making a huge mistake. Any thoughts? Oh, back to our phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Stand Up for the Truth. Who's this, please?
This is Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hey, years ago when my kids were growing up, in Marshfield, Wisconsin, there was a church that put on their own haunted house. But what they did is they had different illustrations as young kids that were drinking and getting in car accidents. They had another room about doing drugs and how it destroys your life. But it had the gospel throughout it.
Mm.
Is there anything around here like that does that?
Boy, nothing I know of. But listen, listeners, if you know of anything like that, if a church is offering an alternative to haunted houses, I mean, it's an intriguing thought when you think about it. So what do we go to haunted houses for? To be scared. What can scare us
right.
more than alcohol, drugs, and demonic activity? I don't know of anything, Diane, but if anyone has heard, if you want to email us at comments@standupforthetruth.com, Diane, we'll see if anybody knows of anything.
Yeah, also they had one area in there that represented hell, what it was like. They had, like, people sitting, like, in a bird cage, you know, over smoke or fire and being by themselves and just kind of illustrate what it's like to be in hell. But they used to get tons of kids and not believer kids, you know, because they thought it was some kind of haunted house. But then they got, you know, the repercussions of living not a life for Christ. And what happens if you don't make that choice for them? So I thought that was a very good thing, but I wasn't sure if there's anything around here.
Well, we'll see what we can find out, Diane. Thank you so much.
Sure.
One more very quick phone call. I've only got about 30 seconds, caller. Good morning. Welcome to Stand Up for the Truth. Good morning. No, must have lost him. Okay. Anyway. But hey, anyway, if you had a comment you want to share, go to comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll make sure we address it tomorrow. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show and tell you about our guest tomorrow.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up for the Truth in a moment. We're getting ready to wrap up this edition of the show, but the discussion is just beginning. More info on today's topics and much more can be found on standupforthetruth.com. Now, here's Mike LeMay with some final thoughts.
Hey, just a quick comment for our local listeners. Fields of Faith tonight at 6:30 p.m. at Green Bay Southwest High School has now been moved inside to the auditorium because it's raining cats and dogs out there. So 6:30 tonight, Green Bay Southwest High School, Fields of Faith, tremendous opportunity to really share your faith and connect with other Christian youth and parents. Tomorrow, Julaine Appling joins us. And in our second segment, we're going to cover a new study from Barna Research that gives reasons Christians state for either supporting Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Some very interesting findings in here that we're going to want to know. So, and we will also, by the way, we will cover tomorrow the comments made by the Clinton campaign about Catholics and evangelicals. You better know what these people think about you, you backwater people. For David Fiorazzo, I'm Mike LeMay, standing up for the truth. Thank you for joining us. Be bold, strong, and unashamed of the gospel. The Lord your God is always with you.